You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The snap, the kick, it's been blocked again! Oh my! It's been blocked again!
He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be caught! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyree Cleveland! Oh my! I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball over the middle.
Have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your boy Corey.
It's Dan.
Hello, Tori.
And your boy Jay Scott 25. What it do, y'all, boys?
What up, 25?
Yes, sir.
Same corner, same time, fellas. SEC Media Week.
SEC Media Week. We're 49 days away from the start of football season. We've got two more Thursdays without football, and we're back.
Is that NFL preseason?
Yeah, like the Hall of Fame game and all of that. I mean, but there's still football. We're almost there. Fortunately, this year we had the World Cup, but we're in the doldrums of the sports world right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it was nice to have the World Cup back in its normal spot and not like 4 years ago when it was in November.
Yeah, because they had it in Qatar, whatever we're calling it. And yeah, but shout out to Spain for beating Argentina.
They've been cheating for them boys. I'm glad they're out of there.
Hell of a game. You kind of knew Spain was going to win the whole thing, and then they were – up 11 guys or 10. And then it just, at that point, Argentina just looked outgassed, but hell of a World Cup. I enjoyed watching it, and I'm not even a huge soccer fan, but it was fun to watch and got into it for the time being. Don't expect to be a long-term soccer fan, but still had a great time watching.
Yeah.
That feeling mutual for sure. I don't plan on watching soccer past what I just saw. I see you guys in 4 years.
Exactly.
Yeah, more than 4 years, but it was exciting, man. Just watch the defense that Spain had, Argentina not being able to even get shots off for like the whole game. That was like incredible, man. Them guys, some special athletes, but the soccer's holding us over. Usually it's boxing for me in the summertime, but boxing, it hasn't been a nice slate like that this summer. It's been kind of dry
ever since Jake Paul, he made boxing the joke. Just being honest, even got big
fighters don't want to fight no more. Bro, Jake Paul legit has done a lot for boxing, I think, especially for women's boxing.
Man, I don't know about that. Put it back on the mat so that other people be able to, get an opportunity. But
he did something great for celebrity boxing, but not like actual boxing.
Yeah.
What's his beef with him and Tom Brady, though?
Isn't WrestleMania in the summer? That's got to be something like weird WrestleMania.
It's
WWE
a marketing thing. Play. I'm not buying it. It's real beef.
Yeah, that didn't look too real. They did a great job of playing it out, but
it's really you see white boys beef in public like that. That's why I didn't believe it.
That's a good point, Corey. That's a good point.
You're right. That's why I say it really just didn't sell to me. Like, y'all two would not have went about it like that. And even after the slap, it wouldn't have went down.
The boys, they called a Zoom call, man. They hashed it out over, a civil conversation. That was just wild. It was out of character for Tom Brady, too. Like, it just didn't make sense.
We got to hear Tom Brady go, why I oughta, or just some like real white people phrases, you know what I mean? But why the flicking off at the World Cup and all this other stuff, I'm like, what do we got going on here? But I think Tom's just bored.
For sure. I get it, man. Some type of marketing ploy. Not mad at it. But how was your weekend outside of soccer?
That was good, man. I want to just applaud you guys as the only one without children on this pod. My brother and his wife and their two kids, they're almost 7 and an 8, almost 9. Just they run you ragged. And there's always something. They're up early. They were up a little bit later than they probably should have. But just Uncle Dan, do this. Let's go play hide and seek. Let's do this. Let me show you this. Let's do this. You know, I was exhausted. I'll tell you that.
You don't sound like you're ready for the. You don't sound like you're ready, bro. Like you're not in game shape.
No, I got to get back. I got to get back in game shape.
Back in game shape.
But it was fun. It was so much fun, man. We cooked on the. On the Blackstone, we were supposed to go to the beach. We were supposed to go boating, but there was that weird tropical system out there. So it kind of rained all weekend. But other than that, that's the first time my brother and his wife have been up here in, gosh, probably 7 years. So it was awesome to see them. And it's always good to spend time with the family. And I don't get the chance to see my brother and his wife and their kids for an extended period of time like that. So I really appreciate them for coming up. But overall, great weekend, man. Just a great, enjoyable, family-filled weekend.
Dope. I didn't get into anything, man. I don't have anything special, bro. Just work.
Man. Business is building. Business is building, brother.
And we land some good bricks, man, but that's about it. Tired, dog. What you got going, Jordan? Anything cooking? Yeah, I seen that boy Reggae Moves the other day, bro. I seen Junior's Reggae. That boy is a rude boy.
I missed this.
It came out of nowhere. I don't know where he got it from, but it's in him, right?
I'm an island boy. Trying to tell you.
That weekend with them, man. And I got the gym inside the garage now, so it's slowly but surely turned into freaks of nature, even though they already had it in them. So they see me working out, and they just be trying to copy stuff, and that's what I'm doing all weekend. I'm trying to just try stuff out in here. And it's a good way for me to babysit and kind of still do what I want to do.
Yeah.
Nick, what about you, brother? How was your weekend?
Yeah, I mean, you got a taste of it, Dan. It's just trying to fill in the time from wake up to nap time and nap time to bedtime.
Yeah, we don't have nap time. We don't have nap time at this age.
Just trying to find activities to fill those two gaps.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what, nap time has gone from 2 hours to one.
It's about to be none soon. I already got one done game. It's not nice.
No. There's nap time should last.
It should.
Until 17 or 18. Yeah, 17 or 18. Until you're out of the house, there should be nap time.
I miss nap time.
Daddy, look at this. Uncle, look at this. Watch this. I'm tired of watching this.
Look at this dance move. Yeah. And it's just them just boogieing down.
I kind of got to watch this, and she just twirled the spoon in her hand. I'm like, wow. That was amazing.
Oh, man. But we're all blessed. And, man, I'm glad everybody had a good weekend. We got an action-packed show today. We're going to talk a little bit about the tight end room. We're going to talk a little bit about special teams. We're going to welcome Adam Schuler. Onto the show. Adam was on the show maybe 4 or 5 years ago. So we're super excited to pick back up a conversation with him. And then it's SEC Media Days this week. It started today and goes through Thursday. John Summerall, Jaden Ball, Vernon Brown, and Miles Graham will all be there on Wednesday morning from about 8:40 until about noonish for your time to watch on Twitter. I'll be there. Nick will be there. But we're looking forward to talking a little bit about that and what are some questions that we would ask or will ask and then can just kind of go from there. But as always, let's give a quick shout out to our friends over at Brett Insurance and the Dirkus Burke and Lewis Law Group.
Stadium McGill is powered by the good folks at Brett Insurance and Financial Services. Anything you need insured, from the panhandle to the keys, my man Greg can take care of you, whether it's auto insurance, life insurance, motorcycle, jet skis, boats, anything that has wheels, he can insure it. And like I said, your life as well, or any other financial services, give him a call at 954-589-2204. It won't cost a dime to see if he can save you a few dimes. Or you can visit bruntinsurance.com if you're living on the world wide web these days. But Greg insures me. He insures other people on this show.
Yep.
You know, tap in with the people that's a part of this gated ecosystem. Greg,
what it do, baby?
And then one time for our friends over the Dykesburg and Lewis Law Group, if you are looking for a group of attorneys that used to work on behalf of the insurance companies and now work to represent you, look no further than the Dykesburg and Lewis Law Group. Give them a call at 727-258-0043 or visit them at dykesburglaw.com. Storm damage, water damage, any insurance issues, these are going to be guys that help you out. So again, take this number down. It is hurricane season. Just a good number to have, represent all throughout the southeastern part of the United States. 727-258-0043. We appreciate everybody that's checking in. If you want to hit the retweet button, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, join us in conversation. We'll try to make this as active and participatory as possible. SEC Media Days live from beautiful Tampa, Florida. And it will, like I said, started today. We had Missouri, Kentucky, Oklahoma. I feel like I'm missing one in there, but it's going to go through Thursday. Like I mentioned earlier, John Summerall, Jaden Ball, Vernell Brown III, and Miles Graham will be speaking on Wednesday. Let's just talk a little bit. What do you guys want to see? Is there anything that you want to hear? Is this a nothing burger for you and it's just coach speak? But what are you looking for out of Wednesday morning?
I just want to see his overall, John Summerall's overall approach, right? This would be our first time seeing him on this big stage. I think he interviews well. I think he had a good intro to the intro presser to Gator Nation. And every time he's on the interview, I think he does pretty well. He's a rah-rah guy. I think he has a personality that can do well at a media day. So I think this is his wheelhouse, getting in front of cameras, getting in front of the mic. More so want to see how the young guys, I think he did choose a good group of guys that good Gator ties. So it's a lot of quotables and a lot of storylines. Just it could get nostalgic. So I think there's a lot of good media, good favorable, just positive news that could come from this, right? We're having the people he have there, not having transfer portal guys. I think that's good for the culture, to have guys that are here building, etc. So I just want to see what he do, man. Like, I'm just interested in to see what the sound bites are, the quotables, etc. But I do think this is his wheelhouse. This is where he thrives.
Yeah, no, 100%. It's cool. Two legacies and then Jaden Ball, obviously. If you have an On3 subscription, Pete Nakos did a really good sit-down article with Jaden Ball where they just kind of discussed his whole process of returning back to Florida. And we might cover that a little bit towards the end of the show. But it's just a very, very good read. And it talks a little bit about what John Summerall did, the recruitment back or staying at Florida. And then ultimately about leaving a legacy, at the University of Florida. So I think that that's certainly going to be, potentially a topic of conversation. But I think more than anything, you have three guys with some real deep-seated connection to the University of Florida, and so I'm looking forward to seeing how they attack it. You have a sophomore, a junior, and another junior here. So this will be Vernell Brown, although a guy that people are familiar with around the Gator world, this is going to be really the first real introduction to him from an SEC perspective and a national perspective.
I think it's honestly for all three of them. Like, I don't know that
– Yeah.
I don't know that I'm maybe outside the SEC bubble. Maybe Jaden Ball gets in there a little bit, but like he was a running back who had 1,000 yards on a 4-win football team.
Yeah.
Like I don't know that anyone in Ohio, like an Ohio State fan knows who Jaden Ball is.
Yeah. They know who Ball is, bro.
I don't think
this is your average Ohio State fan, not somebody who's like really into it. I see where he's coming from. Like,
yeah, awesome. I think you're on a national stage.
Come to the games in the fall, but anybody that knows Ball, like they know Ball, like
for sure. I can attest.
Yeah, if you know anything, if you just the average fan, I think average Ohio State fan would know who Jaden Ball is.
Well, they should know because their potential starting running back got beaten out by Jaden Ball, so.
Yeah, they should have did some research.
Shout out to Jack Cheese, balling in the spring.
He's about to go crazy out there with that big line, boy.
I am Jacoby Jackson's biggest supporter. I'm just letting people know what it is. You know what I mean?
Bro, who died and left you? Who died and gave you that award, bro?
The depth chart chain when he got there.
Hey, shout out to – I think his running style is going to do very well out there with that line that he's going to have in that conference.
It's going to make him look – not to say he's not good, but it's going to make him look so much better than what
he for
was.
Sure.
Like, it's going to be wide open holes. And I know we've said that that conference has gotten a little tougher, guys, but I still don't believe it's at the pedigree of the trenches are in the it's SEC.
Imagine Jacoby Jackson versus Northwestern, dog.
Come on. The match. One second.
Yeah. Can we please? With them hogs.
Wait.
Come on.
Stop. You're forgetting notable powerhouse Rutgers.
Nah, yes.
Oh, I forgot.
Or the staunch defensive line of UCLA.
That's right.
Some real heavy hitters. That was a topic of conversation. I think the message was correct with the wrong messenger. Today, Eli Drinkwitz is saying, like, oh, the Big Ten's got an easy schedule. They don't have a schedule like we do, and they don't have to play, you know, non-A4 teams. Like, they don't have to schedule tough teams outside of their conference games. And I'm just like, yeah, but, like, you're 3-2 against out-of-conference opponents. So, like, maybe –
yeah, man, I'm glad.
Maybe let one of the other 15 coaches talk about that.
I mean, 3-2 ain't bad for out-of-conference.
Is it?
I mean, if we go back and look at it, it might not be. It might be Memphis. It might not be that they're playing.
Hey, great, you got to provide. You got to provide those finer details. But if you tell me 3-2, I can't bash the guy for being 3-2 out of conference.
Well, he's also been there 9 years, and he's got 5 of those games.
I tell you what,
so he's not scheduling him either.
That Florida, they out.
Yeah.
What was that?
I was about to say somebody 3-2 out of conference at Florida, they out.
I'll take it out of conference. I'll take it with our rivals. After what I just saw, I'll take 3-2 in those situations for sure.
Which way you right on that one?
That boy Napier was waiting to bed in every big game. First he didn't off, care what it was.
First off, shout out to Austin Appleby. That's one of Jordan's 36 quarterbacks. Purdue forever. Jordan knows about Purdue's at St. Thomas.
Yeah, you're right. Oh my god.
Purdue's at St. Thomas. So that's the talking point. It's also crazy, I think, that we're going – this will be our first 9-game schedule. That's getting talked about a lot today. But getting back to what we were talking about, I think it's more of a national stage for Jaden Ball. But specifically for Miles Graham and VB3, I don't think either of those have really broken out. And they are such marketable players.
Yeah.
Just, like, great on the field. Athletic ability, they're going to get stats, but also, like, you want to have a brand, and you want to just throw your brand at them and not worry about, like, Antonio Brown Twitter rants or any kind of crazy stuff happening. Like, great brand ambassadors. So I think it's a great opportunity for both of them to kind of showcase their marketability on a stage like this.
What questions? And this can obviously the chat too would love to feature you, Black Raider Steel. Before we acknowledge your presence here, make sure you show us that you hit the like button and shared this on X. But would love anybody in the chat what questions that they might have. Adam Schuler actually just popped up, so we'll wrap up here quickly with this. But what kind of questions would you ask with the opportunity to talk to those four? I know I asked on Twitter today, somebody said, hey, maybe Summerall can explain who's going to be down on the field and who's going to be up in the coach's box. I think that could be a good question. Or what's a success look like in year one? I mean, we had the chance to ask him that a couple months ago when we sat down with John Summerall. But outside of the coach speak stuff, is there anything material that you'd like to get out of this SEC Media Days or you want to hear?
I mean, how soon you would want to settle the quarterback position in camp? Mm-hmm. Like, what's the timeline there? I think that's a good one.
Yeah, I think Corey stole mine with the quarterback deal. I think that's everybody's biggest concern. Obviously, outside the offensive line, too, you want to kind of know who's our five going to be. But my biggest concern, I'm sure he's going to get this question, is that when will this be resolved? What are the determining factors of that, and et cetera?
Cool.
I think it's like some of the questions he had, like, for the team, and, you know, could be bounced back for him. Like, over the summer, how is there any confidence gained with the offensive line? Like, how do we feel, you know, about getting a good five out there? Because he seems to be fairly honest with his analysis of the team. So I think those type of questions we'll get just straight blunt answers on. I don't know what to expect. They're not ready, or, you know, it's going to be a work in progress type of talk. But I think we'll get some genuine, which will be a breath of fresh air after the last 3-4 years, right? Like, just some straight to talk and, like, you know, real feel on the team. That's what I'm looking forward to more than anything.
I'll be honest with you, Corey. I was thinking about this earlier as I was trying to prep myself. I'm like, this might be the first coach since Will Muschamp that doesn't just talk and coach speak that's been at UF. We saw it a lot with McElwain. Definitely saw it with Dan Mullen. And then Billy Napier was a lot of coach speak, but it was also a lot of nothing in what he would say. There was a lot of very verbose answers, and it would just kind of dance around. It almost seemed like the more I talk, the less questions are going to be asked. So that's what I'm looking forward to. He doesn't drag on a lot of his answers. He's pretty straightforward, but also, like, I feel like he does a pretty good job of being honest. So hopefully we'll see a little bit more of that.
Muschamp had his own coach speak, and he would just start, like, talking super high level football.
Yeah, talking about the midline. You just don't know what the midline was. That's a tough. Yeah. That
he would just start breaking down, like, what the blocking scheme was, what they thought they saw. I'm just like, hey, just asking about why your kicker missed it. I think this is gonna be quick. I just think he's talked so much.
Yeah.
Since taking the job, that, like, what else? That's why, like, when we were asked, hey, coach, you're gonna come on your show, why we were like, hey, let's wait till after spring. Cause, like, how much can you ask him? He hasn't even seen the team yet. Now that he's seen the team, like, he's done all of his media throughout spring, he's done that. I think we're not gonna really know anything until, outside of what Corey said, like, who the hell is taking snaps? Who are the five guys blocking for him, and how confident are you that they can? And, like, until the games are played, I don't know, you know, really what else we're going to learn. I'm in a very different seat these last 2 years, not worrying about clicks. So I don't have to.
That's right. The propaganda arm. You talked about it earlier. The propaganda
I don't have to manufacture storylines and hype around those storylines.
Nick was this close to not being able to go to SEC Media Days, but
would have gone on the team credential.
Well, we're looking forward to that. We're going to do some content there. Nick and I are trying to figure some of that out. But more than anything, we'll put it on Twitter. We'll get as many videos as we can to put out on Twitter for you guys to enjoy that experience. And certainly looking forward to it. I was thinking this might be the only time I get to go. It's not something that I would normally travel for,
and
being in the backyard.
They announced it next year. It's in Nashville.
I know.
Great reason to get to Nashville.
I go to Atlanta. So much for work. I don't need to go back to Nashville. You know what I mean?
I have to pull up.
Maybe Corey can take it.
Nashville has never smelled my cologne, man. I got to pull up.
I want to ask Adam Schuller about the nickname.
You never been to Nashville?
Nashville.
I'm not for fun.
Oh,
neither of you. You went to the Vandy game.
Yeah, I went to Vandy, Tennessee Titans. That's in Nashville.
I heard Nashville got good vibes, good rooftops, man.
They do a lot of rooftops.
Elite
rooftops.
Gotta get out there.
We're going to welcome Adam Schuller. He's been waiting patiently. Before we do that, quick shout out. Scott Kaler said, what up, fam? Jay Scar met you at the spring game. Me and my son Cameron hope all is well with you. It was everything meeting you. Thanks, Scott.
Scott, that's my boy. What's up, man?
Pour one out for Scott. Appreciate you, Scott. Before we do that, this interview with Adam Schuller is presented by our friends over at Game Time Sidekicks. Go visit Game Time Sidekicks. I got the cool golf national championship one here, but they're going to keep your hot drinks hot and your cold drinks cold. Go visit GameTimeSidekicks.com. Use promo code STADIUM15 to get 15% off of your order. And with that, we welcome time. Adam Schuller, who appeared in 26 games, 23 starts as a graduate transfer, finished his career with 69 tackles, 9.5 tackles for loss, 6 sacks in 2 seasons. Originally started his career at West Virginia. Second time on the program. Adam Schuller, how are you, brother?
All is well. As well. Can you guys hear me?
We got you.
Yeah, loud and clear, man.
Is that your artwork behind you?
This is all my original artwork, man.
Who are you, bro?
well, first I'll say, man, I appreciate you guys for having me, man. I love what you guys doing. It's definitely an honor to be on the show, man.
Before we get too far off,
you heard us talking about Nashville. Have you been to Nashville?
I have been to Nashville.
Corey, in what I think is his funniest line ever, potentially, called it White Atlanta. And I would like your thoughts.
That's probably one of the most accurate descriptions I've heard about Nashville.
He's never been to Nashville, and just the way we described it, he was like, "Oh, it's White Atlanta."
No, my brother told me that, man. Oh. Like my brother was describing it to me. He said it's a great time, man. He was just like, it's pretty much like White Atlanta. I was like, what does that mean?
And, I know exactly what that means.
I went for the first time a couple of years ago. Actually, the WWE had flew me out there for one of their events. Right. And yeah, it's a lot moving, but it's definitely, it might be the Caucasian Atlanta.
I fit right in. Man.
It's a good time.
It's a great time. Adam, we're going to talk about the Gators and stuff like that. I know we've had you on the show. We might ask some of the similar questions. But since everybody can see, talk to us a little bit about your artwork, man.
Yeah, that looks nice.
Yeah, man. So I definitely had to put the Gator piece up for it.
That looks
for the
show,
which I'm going to auction off, I think, at like the Central Florida Gator Club golf tournament. Under my name is my art website. So I got into art probably a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, like seriously. I'd like to say I didn't find art, it found me. I've been in real estate since I retired, since I came home, a couple other different businesses, but I found myself kind of overwhelmed a lot with work and high stress environments as I'm a full-time entrepreneur. And people would always ask me, what do you do for fun? And I'm like, work. And they're like, man, for real. And I'm like, I don't know. So I got to the point where I needed something. I needed an outlet. And I used to draw a little bit as a kid, but never got into it. And one day I'm like, maybe I should paint. And a couple of years ago, I did a couple of pieces, but I was kind of still busy. And then last year, I'm like, maybe I should paint seriously and paint from a true place of describing myself through my work. You know, I like to call my body of work my visual diary, actually, because even though it's abstract, I tell stories through it. So last year, I picked up the canvas. I bought like 30 canvases from Michael's because they had a sale. And the first day I painted, seriously, I painted for like 8 hours straight and didn't even pick up my phone. And I'm like, this is my thing. So here we are, 75 pieces later. I do different shows and events and markets. I just installed yesterday, which you'll see on my page, 20 pieces at these luxury condos downtown Orlando, which I'll do an exhibition for in a week or two. And so, yeah, this has kind of become something. And I first started painting just to paint, and I would post it, and people were like, hey, do you sell these or whatever? And I'm like, I guess I do. So I built the business out of it, built the website, and here we are.
That's it. So there's a piece of artwork that I found on your website right now that I'd be interested in buying. Can people buy on your website, or is it just shows, or?
I don't sell directly on my website.
Okay.
I like to, cause it's a process I like to do as far as, make everything personal. So when people can, all my contact information pops up 24/7 on my website. Yeah. So you just send me an email or send me a text and let me know what you're inquiring about. So I don't really purchase online directly. I may do that when I do more print, as it's less, personal, less original. Sure. I may offer that, but I don't really put pricing or make it available to buy online because prices change. Depending on, likeness and, rarity.
Well, awesome work, man. I just shot you a note through your website. We'll love to connect. But go check him out. It's theschulercollection.com. theshuler collection.com. You can go check out Adam's artwork. But Adam, talk to us a little bit. I know we had you on the show, you know, 3-4 years ago now, but first question we always ask. I know you started your career at West Virginia, ended up as a graduate transfer at the University of Florida. Talk to us a little bit about why you came to UF at that time.
And I'm going to answer that. And side note, yeah, that Gator piece, I do have limited edition prints for that.
Oh, that's so great.
I'm working on a Gator piece for, I don't know, you guys remember Nick Buchanan?
Yeah.
Yeah, Big Nick. Ooh.
This is his painting.
Oh, that's sick. Oh,
that's sick. He got the city behind him. Okay.
Yeah.
What city is that?
Atlanta. It's Atlanta skyline. You see the Mercedes-Benz.
Black National.
GA.
As some call it, yes.
All right. This is a professional comedian show at this point, man. Great call back then.
Back to the Gators. So you asked me one more time.
Why you came?
Pause. Why did I come?
Yeah, what made you choose the Pause. University of Florida?
All right, pause. So growing up, I was always a Gator fan. Tim Tebow was, you know, my guy, watching the Gators. I always wanted to be different from my family, and my family were all Florida State fans or Miami fans. So I wanted to be different, so I just latched on to the Gators. And when I was coming out of high school, I was getting recruited by the Gators, but then that whole staff got fired, lost communication with them, and then I chose to go because Florida was always the only school I would have went to in Florida. Outside of that, I was going to go far away. I wanted to get away from where I was from. So I chose West Virginia. And when I was transferring, I knew that there was only one school that I was going to transfer to. There was never any option to anyone else. At first, when I decided to transfer, I didn't have contact with Florida. And it was kind of dicey too, because I didn't know, or I hadn't graduated at first before I decided to transfer. And so I was almost going to be a 2-for-1 guy, and most Power Five schools, they're not going to pay you 2 years to come only play for one. But as soon as the information got out that I was graduating and I had some contacts, send out my film, Dan, and what was his name? Otis at the time, the recruiting guys. They called me right up and brought me in for the spring game on a visit. And before anyone else could even give me an offer, which they started coming in after, when people see me on my visit, I had already committed and knew where I was going. And it made way more sense too, because Mouse, the track coach, was like, we love to have you over here too as well. So that's why I came and did both sports.
What was your experience at West Virginia like, man? Like culturally?
Culturally, honestly, the only thing I didn't like about West Virginia was the coaches. That was the only thing I did. Dana Holgorsen.
Yeah.
Dana Holgorsen, Tony Gibson was the D coordinator, and Bruce Tall was the defensive line coach. And that's the only thing about West Virginia that I didn't like. I love the city. They were always welcoming until I said I was transferring. then I got like death threats, called the N-word. I seen the real racist side when I hit a transfer. But before that, it was all gravy. I mean, they showed love in the city. West Virginia is only football, and it's only what the Mountaineers in Morgantown. Like, that's game day, the whole state shuts down damn near. So it was fun. I just had miscommunications and didn't like how the coaches were doing. One coach I did like was Mike Joseph, the strength coach. He's still there, and he's an exceptional strength coach. Exceptional, great guy. I also had a good relationship with Shane Lyons, the athletic director at the time, so he made my transition pretty good. But I can't complain about my time there other than, you know, how I was treated from the head coach and defensive coordinator.
Okay, okay.
So fast forward into a little bit to when you was at Florida and your time being there. Could you tell me, like, what was one of your, like, favorite Gator games, maybe? Whether it was a home or away game or whatever it may be?
Hands down, Auburn. We played Auburn in the Swamp. Was that 2018, right?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
Is that the throwback uniforms too?
Throwback uniforms.
P-Ron run, yeah.
P-Ron run, Freddie Swain. That was hands down the best game ever. I think it hit like one of the loudest games ever. When I think P-Ron broke that second tackle, it was literally deafening how loud the stadium got. I'm yelling at my one of my teammates, and he's standing right next to me, and I couldn't hear what he was saying. It was so loud in the stadium. We beat them. We were both top.
Oh no.
Lost him.
Well, I will.
I like getting nostalgic, but Shula is very vocal about his opinions on the team. So I want to tap into the end of that Napier era, and then, you know, what he's thinking now for sure. Because he's a very vocal guy. And I just got some questions about a few things.
I don't know if he was following them boys as much. Maybe.
Yeah, he was. He had opinions, brother.
He's got some opinions. We'll get to that when he gets back. I'll just keep him there. Keep him off screen until he gets back, until his screen's working.
He got that Obama internet, man.
Man,
shout out to that art. It's a fire art.
Dude, that art is sick. His website's got some really, really cool.
Yeah, I already checked. He got some stuff.
If some of it's modern and abstract, but if you're into that world, it's sick. I definitely check it out.
100%.
All right, he's joining back. All right, Adam, you back?
Yeah, I'm back in.
All right, cool. Yeah. So you cut out when you were saying they were both, you know, ranked, I think, top 15 at the time, right?
I think we were like top. I think we were both top five.
Okay.
Or top 10, or at least.
Sure.
But yeah, that was that game was electric, man. It was hyped. Did we have game day there, Scott?
I wasn't there. I was gone. I was gone already.
I think game day.
Scarlett's like, listen, the only way P. Ryan was toting the rock is because I was gone. Jordan's like, you got me messed up.
He was toting that thing when I was there too. It was a good little one too.
But yeah, that was a magical game, man.
Yeah, no, remember the lead up to that.
I think that was one of my best games playing wise too.
But even watching that, like, P-Ryan run, like, on video, like, I felt chills hearing that, like, roar come from the crowd. I'm like, oh, my God.
I made the jumbo screen on that game. I was muted. Like, it was – you had to be in the stadium that day. But it was crazy. I've been in some loud Swamp games. That sound was crazy. And like he said, your ears just went numb. Like, for real, for real.
It's
crazy, bro.
You can even, so on the, because the video is like on YouTube, whatever, you can hear how loud it is on that video online when he broke that, because he broke two, like I think he broke two tackles. And the second time, like, the crowd got loud.
Got loud, and then it got loud again.
And then it got loud.
Really loud. Oh my God.
That was a frustrating game. So we couldn't do nothing offensively. We couldn't break when they was loading the box. And we kept running into a loaded box. And I said, if he ever get to the second level, I was sitting with a few people. I said, if he ever get to the second level, it's going to be good night. And literally, like, two plays later, he break that joint.
Whoa. And our D line was working that game. We was for stopping sure.
Who was the quarterback for Auburn? Bo Nix.
Yeah, Bo Nix. Yeah.
Who else is on the D line with you, Adam?
Zach Carter, maybe.
Zoo.
Sorry.
Actually, that was 2019. That wasn't 2018. That was 2019. Because I wore 88 that year. So that was 2019. 2019 on D-line, it was me, John Grenard, Zuniga, Zach, and TJ. We still had Moon. We were stacked. I mean, I try not to sound biased, but when people ask about that time, like, do you realize who we had on D, like our defense? Like, I think it's only maybe two or three of us that's not still playing.
Yeah, Grenard just got paid too.
Grenard just got paid. TJ was supposed to get paid, but they snubbed him. Mm.
Yeah, Zach Carter, that's a nasty line.
Carter still playing. Moon still bouncing, playing.
Ventrell.
Yeah.
Slate was there.
He's still in the box. Yeah.
TJ Slate.
Still out there making it happen.
The only people I don't think playing anymore is me, like in the box, me. D. Reese, David Reese, and Campbell, Kyrie, the nose guard that rotated with. Other than that, I hope, like, our front, they're still playing in the league.
Let me ask you a question, man. Like, how tough is it to, like, you know, toggle being former player, having an opinion on the timeline, but also trying to keep your nose clean with the coaches and, you know, alumni? Like, how tough is that? Because you're very opinionated, you know, during the season on Twitter sometimes. Like, how do you juggle that?
I am a talented, articulate salesman. Mm-hmm. So I know how to push the lines or push the boundary without crossing the line and crossing the boundary. So when I make statements, I make very obvious, blatant, you know, statements that are, you know, just kind of facts is facts. I won't really make a statement that attacks, you know, a person. I'll just make a statement based on, like, we pay someone to do something, they should be doing it. You know, we give, and now players are getting paid too. So they're in the same category of you getting paid to perform, not wear a jersey. So that's just the fact. So with me, it's not that hard because I just know what line not to cross. But it is kind of hard in a sense because I'm a businessman. So I understand relationships matter. And I don't want to burn any bridges, you know, or potential bridges or potential collaborations and networks just because I'm attacking someone online.
That's true.
You're not going to get too heated on a Saturday.
I was close. Like, last year hurt me, man. I mean, it's people don't understand. Like, yeah, I played. I was in Florida for 2 years, but I wear orange and blue, you know, harder than a lot of people that have been Gators their whole life. You know, right. I represent the brand. I think people see that, and so people respect when I speak on the Gators, or, you know, they bring me around and stuff because I wear orange and blue with pride. So last year, you know, hurt me to the point where I said some things that I probably hadn't said before, but it was the truth, you know.
How you feel about the? Have you been following the John Summerall, his new the new regime, and, you know, some of the things they were doing spring game? Have you been back on campus?
Yeah, I actually went to the spring game, and I went to I was up there for another practice. And what I will say, I don't really know him and the staff. I did meet the new D-line coach and some other staff. I hadn't really sat down and met Summerall just yet. But what I do like about Summerall so far is the fact that he cares about what's going on. Mm-hmm. And he has some energy to him. He's not just monotone and just kind of going through the motion, kind of like our last situation. He has some energy, like, you know, Dan Mullen, whatever people say about him, you know, he was foaming at the mouth about certain things, you know. he has some fire.
He was a little crazy.
You know, he has some fire. And the SEC and the University of Florida, you cannot be a passive guy. I don't believe you can be a passive, quiet, reserved type of coach to lead these type of or this level of players.
Yeah, I think that was kind of always a chief complaint that people had was I never played college football, as you can probably tell. But one of the things that I noticed was that like his energy level would just put somebody that was on like 6 Celsius to bed within 20 minutes. Right. And I think that I don't think that you have to be the punch the whiteboard Will Muschamp. I just think that you have to have some excitement, some enthusiasm, some energy, and not everything has to be this monotone, just very reserved, laid back. And I think that is reflective in the way that the players are going to react as well.
It's top down. It comes from top down. Florida has never lacked talent, ever. But they do what they're allowed to do, and they become their surroundings. If their surrounding, if their leader is passive, if their leader is reserved, they're going to be the same thing. I went to, I think it was like his first year. I went to one of the fall camp practices, and it was so like this was like day 10. It was so quiet at that practice. Nobody was fighting. Nobody was talking trash. And Scarlett knows O-line and D-line, we going to fight in camp.
Yeah.
Nick Buchanan was the starting center and my roommate. We lived together. And in camp, we going at it every day in practice. We might throw some blow. We might talk trash and then go home. Like so you got to have some energy. There was no – So, and at the time, Kingsley was, and I'm like, what's going on? He's like, bro, he don't want us talk. He don't want us arguing, talking, fighting, none of that. Like, it was just quiet. Like, you can hear a rat piss on cotton in fall camp. and I knew at that point, I didn't verbalize it, but I knew at that point we were in trouble.
Yeah.
There was no energy. There was no excitement. There was no, you know, egos. And you, as a coach, I'm not a coach, but I know as a coach, you cannot strip a player of his ego. You just have to teach him how to channel it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, in hindsight, we look back and, you know, it all kind of makes sense. But, you know, and I know everybody responds differently to different coaches and everything else, but it's just so boring sometimes. It's like, man, how is somebody supposed to get hype to ram their head into somebody else for 3 or 4 seconds if you're just that reserved all the time and standing on the opposite side of the field for half the game, but that's a different subject for a different time. Yeah. What do you, have you gotten the chance to meet? Obviously you've met Gerald Chapman before, but have you had the chance to meet any other defensive coaches that are under John Summerall's new staff?
What about edge coach David Reese?
Never heard of him?
Yeah, he's my boy, man. Outside of them, I hadn't really had a chance to sit down or really talk with the new coaches. Like I said, the only thing I can speak on is the energy. The energy feels different. It feels like, you know, they have a chip on their shoulder, you know, which they do. And that's like they should have some energy behind them that, you know, with something to prove.
So if you was to give a prediction for this season, what's your expectations for us this season? Give or take something. The reality is it couldn't get much worse than what we just dealt with, right?
Don't say that.
Yeah. I'm siding with Jordan. I don't think it can get worse.
If it gets worse than it did the
last 3 or 4, like
our schedule can't be no tougher than it was last year.
Yeah, the schedule is easier. Let me ask you this. Answer it this way. Like, what should be the floor of a Gator season? Like, no matter the coach.
No matter the coach. I mean, I think realistically, I think just being realistic, I think 6 or 7 wins should be a baseline. Like you have to be bowl eligible at minimum. Honestly, I want to say 7. Like is my floor, but you have to be bowl eligible to be a coach at University of Florida.
I completely agree with that statement right there. If we ain't bowling, I ain't happy.
That's crazy that that's even like
the standard now.
Yeah, I'm taken aback. That's crazy. I'm taken aback. That's why
I'm thinking back to like 18, 19. You went like 10 and 3, 11 and 2. Two New Year's Six bowls. And we were probably pissed off that you lost to Georgia.
Yeah.
I was pissed
off. 10 and 3, and you lose to Georgia. And we're like, oh, they stink. They can't beat Georgia. Fire them.
Mm-hmm.
And now in the same breath, apathy, we're like, man. You know, apathy. Six or seven games is pretty good.
Apathy kills, man.
Apathy. Like what Billy Napier did to this fan base should be studied.
Man, I say it all the time on like the standard. Like we're talking about the standards, but I'm like, we fired Dan Mullen for half the less than what this happened.
You muted, know? Jordan.
I've been telling these boys on this show this whole time.
We held Dan Mullen to a standard that was through the roof. I mean, literally, people were telling me all the time.
My brother in Christ, Dan Mullen was bringing absolute scrubs in here, though, man.
But he was still winning ball because he had one losing season.
It was about to be more.
I mean, Adam, you were
around season. He had his agent tell Adam Schefter, like, hey, tell them that Dan Mullen might want to go to the NFL. Like, Dan was doing too much off the
ground. Yeah. There was a lot. I think COVID really kind of set things back with him. I mean, you guys knew players that were still on the team then. Adam, especially you, because it happened, two seasons later. Like, what were they telling? Like, what were your teammates talking about with letting him go? Like, did they see the other stuff that was being talked about the NFL, about recruiting, about some of this other stuff, some of the, I don't want to call it weirdness, but like the Darth Vader stuff. Like there's just like a lot of stuff that came out. Like, bro, what
the
did
Darth
your,
Vader
what
thing
your
was
teammates
funny? Say? The Darth Vader thing was funny. That game on Halloween. It was a late game. He went from there to go trick or treat with his kid. That thing was funny.
You didn't, it wasn't reading the room, I would say. Like, even with, what's your opinion on the shoe toss and then Marco being a captain the next week?
Listen, I can honestly say, like, I've never been a player that was just kind of like disrespectful or just kind of like erratical when it comes to. So I never respected players like, and I respect and appreciate, and I feel like discipline is necessary. Because you have a lot of kids or teenagers who have these, you know, bouts or, you know, tantrums, and they should be disciplined, to show other teenagers and people that it's not acceptable. I did not find it funny or pass, like, I would have benched them if it was me, but...
Well said. Very well said what you're saying.
Yeah.
On Dan, I think first let me say this. My relationship with Dan was great. Dan came and got me from West Virginia. He took care of me while I was at Florida. When I lost my grandmother before the Peach Bowl, you know, he was there. He was like, "Hey man, if you don't want to play, you don't have to play. We need you. We want you, but you don't have to. Like, you can go." He let me go home during that. I don't know if Scar remembers, but I left for a few days. Mm-hmm. He let me go with my family for a few days. I just decided to come back and play. But so Dan's my guy. Now on the other side of honesty, I think Dan kind of lost his mojo a little bit, and that's why he left from football for a couple of years. And then I think he realized, he really loved the game and he wanted to get back into it, or what he really wants to do it. And that's when he started back coaching. But I think that kind of showed his last year or so. Like, he was just kind of like, maybe football isn't for me. But then he had that awakening after a couple of years later. I need the game.
What you experienced a number of different coaches. Like, what was there was a lot of complaints, and not about the players necessarily, just about like Todd Grantham and some of the defenses and stuff like that. What was he like as a coach? And like, that was probably one of the chief complaints under Dan Mullen. It wasn't the offense, it was the scheme and just the defense as a whole. Like, what was it like being a player under him? And then, like, obviously, I'm sure you saw, like, people complaining and stuff like that about it too. And it wasn't – it was probably more after your time there. But, like, what's that experience like?
I mean, I think – so Todd's defense was, I think, pretty next level. As far as like our plays and schemes, like it was a pretty extensive playbook that we had to learn with Todd's defense. Maybe for younger guys, it's not the easiest thing to do. But that's why it worked well with me and us, because we were older guys. So we knew our assignment. We knew that it wasn't about I'm gonna make all the plays. Like, I had to give up my playmaking ability for Ventrell to make plays, for David Reese to make plays, for John Grenard to make plays. And so for us to win as a team, for the scheme to work. I think when you have a bunch of young, inexperienced players who are all about me, or maybe don't understand the full 11-man defense, they find it hard to buy into a system like that.
What was the play call at Mississippi State? Year one, it was in gauge eight. Donovan Steiner,
when he said
Donovan Steiner got the sack, but like the meme was like the Madden play call of engage eight. And I think when you watch it, it was like a fourth. I think it was fourth down.
It was fourth down.
Was it just engage eight? It's like a cover three shell. Everyone else, pin your ears back.
Yeah, I was about to say probably by only three people that wasn't rushing, or two.
Yeah, it was an all out blitz for sure. I can't remember the exact call, but yeah, I think coaches also have to know their players. I think coaches have to know their players enough to if we don't have these veterans, because that's what happened after I left. They lost a lot of older guys with experience. So now they're running the same system. These younger guys who have less experience, and even the juniors or seniors then, they still didn't have a lot of experience, because when I was there, we played the whole game.
Yeah.
Except when we got tired. So I think that's one thing that Dan probably failed at or didn't do his best at is preparing the next rotated guys. Sure. Because
they're on both sides of the ball.
When you look at the games when I was there, the games we lost. Georgia, LSU, when they won a championship 2019, watch that game. Their running back only had like 40, 50 yards on our second string guys for busted gaps. Outside of that, the first string D line, we had him to like 40 yards, 30 yards. It was like two plays where he gouged us and they made something out of it. So I think just the lack of preparation of the second string guys, and not rotating them in enough maybe throughout the season, they weren't prepared when they had to step up.
A couple things there. So, one, those two teams you just mentioned, those are games where buckle your chin strap. It might be a game where that first string D-line might have to come off a little bit more than a team who's taking their time and maybe not as like ground and pound as Georgia was or LSU was. And then the other one, not that I – this might be one of the first or second times I ever give Dan Mullen credit. But, like, also some of that's on the players. Like, even if I'm third string, I need to be going to practice as if I'm playing. So some of it can be put on the guys. Like, hey, you're not getting live reps on Saturday, but what am I doing Monday through Thursday so that I'm ready next year?
That's a complete – like, that's a true concept. But Jordan tell you, anybody on this call that play ball will tell you that is so hard to ingrain in any athlete.
100%.
Telling them it's like when you redshirt. You know how hard it is for me to practice hard right now,
buddy,
knowing I'm not playing any game.
I'm in Midtown. If I'm redshirting, what time's practice? Cool. I'm at happy hour.
So if I know I might get 12 plays in a game or 10 plays in a game. It is extremely, and it's true. Like, they should practice, because you never know when your name gonna get called. Mm-hmm. But if I know odds are I'm not touching the field, or I'm barely gonna touch the field, I have less pressure on my shoulders to make plays, to make big plays. So, but that's a culture thing. Like, that's where it has to come from top down. Like, You know, Nick Saban at Bama, he did a great job of letting players know when I call you, you better be ready, and preparation is key. You're not going to play. You may not play right now, but if when your time comes and you're not ready, we're going to move on.
Yeah, because I think practice culture and like and having like competition at every spot on the depth chart, it keeps you a little fire under you, even from the starters. So I think that's why Nick Saban was able to pull that off, because you had to be on point, or you go from sagging the third or third to like practice, you know, team real quick if you wasn't performing well. So you had to hit the sled a little extra out to practice. Receivers got to catch a little bit more balls out to practice just to get favored with the coaches sometimes too. Like, you got to do extra things when you're not getting playing time to be, you know, when they get ready to look back and say, like, what you call him, Jordan? Chance man? You want to be Chance man? Just give me a chance, man. Like, you got to put that work in to get that chance. So I'm with you. It's a culture thing for sure.
Yeah. Before we started the show, I was showing the fellas a new TikTok dance that a bunch of Texas players.
Oh my God, bro.
I wouldn't even necessarily call it a TikTok dance.
This is a family show. Don't put the video up.
No. I don't know that that's the culture of the guys who are worried about getting their third team reps on Thursday.
Let's just say it was Zesty Buffalo.
Hey, I think this NIL stuff has gave it's great, but it's also
get them off your lawn, bro. Get them off your lawn.
It has given me, or I think, given people a reason to not attack, but be direct to players. Because, like I said earlier, is you're getting paid to perform. Period, point blank. If you come in here and you asking and you negotiating these deals and you riding on campus in a Maybach, in a scat pack, but you suck, you gotta go, bro. Your performance should not be subpar. I'm not saying you can't make mistakes, but if they're paying you $200,000 or $100,000 on top of your scholarship, there's you have no, like, you get no leeway.
I think these kids are getting paid the money and still got a leeway that kids who are just on scholarship have,
and that's the problem.
I don't know what fans y'all watching, but the fans I watch have been complete assholes from day one. Like, I don't think any of that. Like, since I've been following this game, fans have been super critical at every
I'm talking about in-house. Like,
I hope they got in these contracts, like, performance. Like, you don't get this unless you do this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, you've seen guys, right? Like, just our roster, right? You see guys come in 4 or 5 stars. They don't play as freshmen. They're going to Missouri and other schools now, because it goes from you coming in, somebody that's working around NIL. I tell all these kids coming in, like, that freshman contract means absolutely nothing. I mean, sometimes you can sign 2 years now, but it's going to come down to production. That exit interview at the end of the season, the roster is going to be formulated about who can produce. So you see some guys that go from FAMU to Alabama, and you see some guys go from Alabama to FAMU. You got to produce. None of the checks you're coming in is going to be guaranteed, man. Like, it's still sports. It's a performance-based game. You got to perform. If not, that money gets stripped quick.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. By the end of the season, it's definitely stripped. But by then, you done already gave them how much. I mean, you're already over with.
you did a poor job vetting if that kid's full, right? If $200,000 was enough to make that kid full and he's satisfied with that, I think the vetting process, you dropped the ball somewhere. Because you got to vet them out and see how hungry that kid really is for the game to get to the real check. Some kids are going to get fooled off $100,000, $200,000.
Man,
that ain't the kid you want.
It hurt my heart when I go on the sideline, and I ain't going to say no names. When I go on the sideline and I see $30,000 chains on guys who ain't touching the field.
Yeah.
Wow, them bitches glistening. Jersey glistening.
Their jerseys as clean as their chain.
What you talking about?
They got to fund the roster, though. Like, what are you going to do? They got to pay the guys.
I But my thing is, I don't think there should be a cap. Like, you, whatever they're worth or whatever people, like, if they're bringing fans, if they're bringing wins, pay the man. If you are on the bench.
The bench riders and the pros get paid.
You get bench paid.
Adam's trying to give us a tiered structure.
I'm about to say, you don't want to see that P squad compared to the roster. That's how it should be.
P squad get paid $7,000 a week.
Give it take. Sometimes it'd be fine.
You might get paid $100,000, $2 million, $1 million a week.
I don't think there's a vast difference. I don't think, like, walk-ons don't get paid. You know, it's a lot of kids that are just on scholarship. Like, every kid isn't getting paid. Every kid isn't getting NIL deal. It's still tiered to who could perform.
Like, I guess he's more saying for the dudes that are, like, not even traveling on scholarship, making over $200,000 a year, $100,000 a year, versus you go to the NFL, this dude's literally on P squad. You in Cali, you probably have to tax and bring home $4,000. You roommating with somebody in California.
Mm. I mean, you're comparing practice squad to a roster.
That was me.
How many guys on the NFL?
Drew was like, can I get on Tennessee? Can I get on the Jazz?
You got 53 guys, right? It's a 53-man roster, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So how many you traveling with 53, right? Mm-hmm. Who's traveling? College football team not traveling with 53.
You probably travel like 40-something, like 48.
And it's a lot less with college. Like, how many players you got on scholarship and all of them not getting paid? That's my point. Like, it's still the same. Like, the practice squad guys in college aren't getting paid. The level of practice squad guy in the NFL that's getting a check, I can promise the level of practice squad guy in college, they're not getting paid like that.
But let's also say that, like, the argument, because I don't want to say, like, hey, they're getting a scholarship. Like, the argument that a scholarship was ever enough. Like, what major did you want to be in? Oh, you want to do engineering? Cool. You're going to miss practice. You're going to miss lifts. You're going to miss meetings. You're not doing engineering.
Let me introduce you to family, youth, and community service.
Yeah. So it's like, it's not even like you can pick a major that you're interested in. It's like, I never subscribed to they shouldn't get paid because you're getting a free education. It's like, well, someone's education, maybe not what I wanted to do.
True. It's gonna be some people walking around here with CTE that never made real money in football just by playing this game. Mm-hmm. Like, the fact that they're putting their body and their brain and their health on the line to go out there, I think they all should be getting some type of compensation. They also should get some type of health benefits, to be honest with you, because some people are gonna walk away from this game with a lot of head issues and a lot of other issues and never really cash in to get an NFL CTE check.
I guess I'm not trying to say that I don't think the players deserve the money. I think that I think they should set tiers a little bit more seriously in that, like, the starting 22 is a starting 22. Maybe you got your few swing O linemen, D linemen that may get it to like 26, 27 if you're just doing both sides of the ball. But after that, I think the price drop off should be real significant, just like the NFL.
It's so hard.
Yeah, but the issue. The issue is when they made the legislation, they called it your name, your image, and your likeness. Not, hey, we're in a league, we're going to have salary caps. But when you take it, it's not what you know, it's what you can prove in court. And when you take it to court and you say, hey, this company wanted to pay me $1 million, and the CSC says I'm only worth $200,000, so I'm going to sue you for the $800,000 because this company – mm-hmm. thinks I'm worth $1 million. And in America, if you think I'm worth $1 million, that's what I'm worth. You're worth whatever someone's willing to pay for your goods or your services.
And somebody's always going to be willing to pay in the recruiting process. That's going to be the thing.
So that's the issue we got into, is that we opened the bottle of name, image, likeness, sponsorship, and now you can disguise that in many different ways.
Yeah.
Right. It's not even disguise. It's just straight up rev share pay for play at this point. But in the recruiting process, somebody's going to say, even if you say, hey, we got this tiered system and this is how we pay our guy, we only want to pay somebody that just want to win, going to say, we got a lot of money, bro. We don't care about all them, what they're trying to do. Yeah. We'll give you $2 million to come play as a true freshman. And the kid's going to take it. Should that kid get paid more than a veteran on the team? No. You got a guy that's probably going to come in, not play as a true freshman. He's going to probably be one of the highest paid players on the team. But when he's going to have
the prettiest chain on the sideline.
Yeah, and let me be clear, like,
that's hilarious.
I think all players, like you said, should get paid an amount. all players should get paid an amount, and all players should get taught how to grow or multiply that income, for sure, because there's going to be a lot. I mean, there's 130 players on a college team. Maybe 100 of them get hurt up, get broke up, and are going to be in poverty when they leave college as well. So that's 100% true that all players should get paid. And if they know how to market and advertise and use their image on outside, they can max out, make $100 million if they could. I mean, I would own half of Gainesville if I was getting paid over there. So 100%. I mean, just from the money that the NCAA is allowed or school pays, we shouldn't, like, incoming freshmen, I don't see how nobody should offer an incoming freshman $200-300 million. Like,
Adam, I'm telling you right now, there will be seven-figure freshmen next year.
Yeah,
that's plenty of them. Bruce is about to get like two and a half, three. Like, what are we
even
talking?
I'm gonna be honest about myself. Even me at 18, and you saying you're gonna give me $1.5 million to come to your school. Somewhere in my head, I'm a hustler, I'm a grinder, but somewhere in my head is gonna be like, I'm chilling. I gotta be him already. They finna pay me $2 million. I'm him. And there's no way I'm saving that. There's no way I'm not going to buy a Lamb truck at 18. Mm-hmm.
Adam's contract is null because he just wrote him on the contract. He just signed him.
I don't even think you got to buy it. It's just so much economics is going on around these kids. Like you look at Jeremiah Smith. Like, he could easily, like, that kid is making crazy bread. Like, he ain't buy the Lambo truck. They're going to drop it off to him. Like, they're not even buying jewelry at that point. They're bringing jewelry to him.
Are you saving your money at 18 and you come up with $500,000?
No. That thing about to get blown all over the city.
That's 500,000 singles at ball.
And he probably just got – that's just bad management in, like, your circle. Like, that's what parents come in to play at, man.
What
18-year-old
do you know that has good management, unless he has a good father in his life? Which, let's be honest, I don't want to go there, but what person playing football, the probability of having a good father in your life isn't that high in that sport. I'm just speaking real.
I think those stats have changed as well. They did a breakdown of that of two parent homes in the NBA draft and the NFL draft, and it's very high with two parent homes. I think these boys are going in the right direction for sure.
I'm not saying it's not, but I'm more saying for the vast majority of it, I think we deal with that often, and that most of these kids that are really good and have the opportunity to get this money, they end up doing not the right thing because they just necessarily.
We in the IL area. Who's really blowing money and ruining it right now? Like, what stories?
You wouldn't know because they're still in it.
No. How you find out is go to the campus and see what everybody wearing and driving. That's how you find out who's blowing it. You're not gonna see it online, or follow a lot of these guys and see what they're doing on the, you know.
I think let me tell you that I thought Go Yard was an official sponsor of the Florida Gators.
I think, like, culturally, right? I think, like, the mindset should be right. Just like anybody that comes into, like, this ain't the first youth wave, right? It's just we put it just on our culture, but this ain't the first youth wave of people getting money young in sports. Like, that's a fairly common thing. I think, like, the culture should be, like, of money management, and the conversation is different these days. Like, being able to access and get more money different type of ways, like entrepreneurship and being able to buy stock on your phone. Like, it's just a different world financially. But ideally, what an athlete should do is never touch that money like that, right? Like, you're living in a town like Gainesville. You don't really have to live off that money whatsoever. You put yourself on allowance. You get reputable reps from reputable places like Prudential. You go to State Farm, you go to place reputable companies to manage your money in a safe way. And you can live off a bare minimum $30,000 in Gainesville and live like a king, to be honest with you. A lot of the vehicles, you can negotiate that in your NIL deal. Like, most of these kids aren't paying for these leases. Some of these cars are getting dropped off to them. It's just like giving them the financial education. I think the education and the culture around it needs to be pressed on these kids because they are kids. They are young men. Absolutely. So I think that part of it should be pressed, but I don't think, like, the it's like the days of old where, you know, pro guys aren't going broke like they were in the 90s and 2000s because there's so many other ways and education is different.
I don't know what you're saying, but shit, okay.
I'll tell you this too. We've got some guys, a lot of guys, not the majority, but a lot of guys who have already set up LLCs. And like that's how they're getting paid.
I see a lot of those moves, man.
Tax time, so they smart with that instance. But yeah, are you still spending your money correctly? Like,
true.
So
now for us, we won't pay them until they meet with until we know that they have met with a financial advisor, and not my mom's brother's friend's next door neighbor who said he's going to manage the money, like someone who's credentialed financial advisor. Now we just do that as like a protection, but like they don't have to listen to the financial advisor. They pay him his percentage and go do whatever they want. But at least we know that, hey, you've sat down with somebody who professionally manages money, who can advise you, and you can't make a kid
even if they blowing it. That's not a reason not to pay him.
Right.
Whatever happens with the money, like regardless, people are coming from very poor backgrounds. We were just talking about their background, coming from very poor backgrounds, and the ability to touch generational wealth was far in between. Most of these guys go bang their brains out and not make no real money, go be a PE teacher, go train at LA Fitness. Now these guys that'll never make pro have an opportunity to touch some real money. Yeah. Are some going to blow it? Yeah, but some are going to set their families up to be well off, you know, off of playing 3-4 years in college, making $300,000 a year and being responsible with it. So it's going to be, of course, the ups and downs of it, but bottom line, they should be getting paid. If they blow it, they don't blow it.
I think the only way that we fix it is make the education about financial literacy, make that mandatory. Like, make that a mandatory curriculum as a freshman. Like, add that one class that they go through for two semesters or whatever of financial literacy. As well, they can like that should be like a NCAA mandatory thing that they have to go to these classes, because
kind of like the NFL does, like NFLPA does with the rookies.
Yeah, NFLPA do that with the rookies. Remember, we used to have the meetings quarterly and stuff like that.
So that is because I can't agree with Scarlett on the father thing, but I think what the main cause is even if you have one or two parents, most of the kids that come or that the star players or most of the players on a team, they come from uneducated backgrounds. So you can have two parents, four parents, 10 parents, blue parents, but if they're uneducated on how to handle or manage $100,000, $200,000, $1 million, you're never going to have that information. So when you get it, it's going to go all over the place. So that's just all it is. It's a lack of education. But if it's not mandatory at 19, 20 years old, you're not going to choose to go educate yourself. Yeah. You're not going to choose
especially when you start seeing it around you too. And you're like, oh, I have enough money to go buy that. Like it's in my checking account. I can go buy that. But you don't know what the quarterback is making or what somebody else is making or why they've made that decision. It's just tough. It's just tough to be 18 years old and see
it ain't tough.
Three numbers in front of a comma and not want to go buy something.
No, I'm saying it's tough to resist the temptation of spending that money, right?
Yeah.
The people that
that just comes with, like he was saying, it's like it's everybody won't have it, but you know, the ones that do, that's why the importance of education, the importance of family structure, like all that stuff matters, bro. That's how you retain wealth. Like through discipline, through, you know, good morals, like all of that stuff, like it takes certain things to retain wealth. If you're living all wild and you don't have no discipline, you're going to be broken poor. And the next generation, you're going to be broken poor. But somebody got to break that generational curse, get some education and create family structure and get some morals and principles. Or not.
Education is great.
Go ahead.
Education is the only separation.
Correct.
Fact. Even when I heard Odell Beckham on a podcast saying 20 million isn't enough, I said, oh my God.
The number won't stop. I've heard Joe Hayden was talking like 50 million is not a lot of money.
That's what I'm saying. Like, people
we can't speak that. That's ignorance. I know, but like, that's a lot of money.
These generations look up to guys like that. You see Odell Beckham on the scene wearing Supreme and all flashed out and blamed out. You want to go be like OBJ. You want to go be like Joe Hayden. So these cats.
I want to be like Brett Favre in the Wrangler jeans.
I'm trying to tell you, bro.
Like Jake Slaughter. Pull up I could to give the one.
Listen. Brett Favre, I think, defrauded the government.
The state of Mississippi. Sure did. Maybe,
defrauded the state of Mississippi.
Thank God he wasn't wearing FUBU.
I don't think Brett Favre would have been in that. No.
I mean, how many times you seen Shaq in Gucci Louis and all this stuff?
You don't need it.
It's called
but like that stuff. I think it's that stuff. It's like flashy and sexy, but like you don't understand. Like, all right, well, Magic Johnson made millions and millions of dollars with like car washes. Something that's like not flashy, not fun, but like made tens of millions of dollars just like getting in on car washes. And like, there's a bunch of stuff that's like just not sexy that you can put your money in.
Saving money ain't fun. You know, saving money, being disciplined, it's not fun. But that's the only way to attain wealth. Like we were just talking about getting bored last week.
Yeah, you just hit it on the head with that one, Corey. I thought about that as soon as you said not getting fun. That was a good quote right there. If you ain't comfortable with just being bored, you ain't gonna be successful.
You're not gonna get rich. You gotta be comfortable with being bored, studying. Reading the things that ain't fun,
and rule number one, cars are not an investment.
Never will be.
I mean, pandemic, you can buy a car and flip it. Like it depends.
Cars aren't, but properties aren't either. The ones that you're living in.
True.
We got a lot of guys who have gotten into like buying land, like buying investment properties.
I hear a lot of that though, Nick. That's what I'm saying. Like the guys that I'm around, the guys that I'm hearing, it's a lot of that, those moves, man, of buying duplexes, land, a lot of getting a lot of equity plays. Like it's a lot of that going on in this space. But
so that's what I want to see is and Nick, like that's what I wanted to bring to Gainesville as well, is like I want to make it fun to be an investor, fun to be, you know, a nerd on that. Because people like my investors for different events that I have or stuff like that, people always assume it's players. Like, oh, you talking to your put, and none of them. Like, if I stumble across a portfolio deal right now, the first people I'm calling are my doctor friends or my entrepreneurship friends, because they have the working capital and they have the knowledge to do it or, you know, the capacity to do it. But that all I'm saying is, like, over the last 5 years, I met so many people that make way more money than we made, and they never touch a football field. So I want to let the players know that football is not the only way. But what it is doing for you is it's giving you a leg up on 90% of entrepreneurs when they start. They don't have working capital. And that's the only reason why they're not successful. But if you're sitting on 100 grand or 200 grand that you save up in 1 year, you can leverage that to $1 million loan, investment loan. You can leverage that to
now we're talking.
If five starters on the Florida football team get together and put in a pot of 500K, we can leverage that to buying a $3.5 million performing asset that they own forever. Now they're making 15 grand a month. So that's what I like. I think, you know, we have to do a better job of making it fun for them and seeing, because a lot of NFL players, they see it, and the smart ones, they see it and they get into it. And then you see a few of them taking over the investment or entrepreneurship side. Like, I know a couple of NFL players, like, they have multi-billion-dollar almost investment portfolios and businesses just because they see how easy the game is. And it's – but you have – they have a leg up. These college players, like, that's why I said, if I was in college right now, I would own – like, start from 4 years at Florida, I would own a tenth of Gainesville by the time I left there. Just collaborating with other investors, because a lot of investors and people want to do business with athletes.
Yeah.
I think that's good.
I need to get you up to talk to the guys.
Yeah, I was about to say that. I think that's good knowledge, and I think that's like good, like cultural things. Like being able to sit down with the guys on the team and talk about some of this stuff. I don't know how, like, you know, tricky that is with bringing in like investment ideas to the team. I don't know, like, the compliance part, all that, but I do think that's good game and knowledge that players just need to be educated on. They all want to make money, bro. Mm-hmm. It's just somebody sitting them down, that a familiar voice sometimes that they, you know, can relate to hearing that same game. You tell me I'm gonna invest $100,000 and make $15,000 a month, like moving forward. That's a no-brainer.
And I come with ownership. Like, I'm never gonna reach out to Jordan or any of my other boys or teammates and say, "Hey, pay me to go do this." No, I'm gonna come to you with an opportunity where you don't pay me nothing directly, but we get money together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to make money off of you. I want to make money off what we do and
what we can do together.
The project. Yeah. I'm never gonna take money from Jordan. I'm never gonna say, "Hey, pay me to do this." No. Let's go buy this. I'm gonna make my money on the real estate. I'm gonna make my money on the investment. So that's, I think that's another angle of why players are reluctant to do things. Because a lot of people come in and say, "Hey, pay me to go do this."
Yeah.
Hey, there's a lot of that.
Pay me to go do this, or pay me to, or give me this money to go do that.
Yeah.
If I come, I'm gonna say, hey, Jordan, hey, Corey, let's put in $200,000 into this fund, and I'll go search for this and that, and whatever I decide we want to get, you have to approve it.
Yeah, and I think it's, Adam, I think it's people like you and people that are doing things like what you're doing is the positive voice that a lot of people need, right? There's a lot of people that are money hungry. There's a lot of hounds in the industry. There's a lot of people that are pointing people in the wrong direction or don't have experience in that world and found an avenue, or they know somebody that now has this large sum of money and they don't know how to guide them in the right direction, but it takes discipline. More importantly, you said it earlier, it takes education. And for a lot of these guys, it's about exposure, right? And it's about opportunity and options of not just today or not just next year, but what's your money doing for you in 10 years or 20 years? You put $1 million away now, in 30 years, that's $4 or $5 million, and you did nothing, just sitting there.
And the problem with education, I'll say this, is you can't even vet someone without having a certain level of education.
Yeah.
So there's so many people coming to players at this time because they're making money and saying, "I can do this," or "Look at my track record," or "Look at this." But because players have zero education in the tax space, in the investment space, they can't even vet the opportunity in front of them. So that's why it's easy to get manipulated, because if I call you and you don't know anything about real estate and I tell you this sounds good, or show you a fake portfolio, because I can get ChatGPT to put something together, you don't have any education to vet what I'm talking about at any level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're gonna buy it, and that's the bad part. Is, I mean, there's a lot of good people out here too. I'm not gonna say there's not, but the players, they have zero education on all playing fields in this thing most of the time, so they can't even vet a good or bad person. So a lot of times, even a good person will turn bad because they see how manipulative their client actually is.
100%, man.
Good man. Stuff, man.
Adam, it was an absolute pleasure having you on. We don't normally talk to folks for an hour, and it was really awesome. a lot of different perspectives, and it truly one of the better conversations that we've had on this show, man. So we'll let you wrap up. Let everybody know where they can follow you on social media, and obviously go check out the SchulerCollection.com.
Yeah, man. You can check me out on Instagram at SchulerDoesIt, SchulerDoesIt. I got a bunch of other pages, but all of them will be on that page. My real estate, business, art, etc. And then at SchulerCollection.com, you'll see all my work. Feel free to send me a message on there if you guys like anything. My phone number's on there. My email's on there. Can always reach out. I'm an entrepreneur, and I'm in the real estate space, so I'm down to collaborate with anyone on those topics, and or just help people get better.
Awesome, man.
No, for sure, man. I'm going to tap in with you, brother.
Yeah, so I definitely appreciate you guys having me on, man.
Appreciate you, Adam. Thanks,
appreciate man. You, man. I appreciate you coming on, man. Go Gators, brother.
Always.
Art's fire, bro. I ain't going to lie to you.
Yeah, the art's good, man. I'm trying to buy some.
Right. You might get one.
Like the art you go when you go in like rooms to go and whatnot, bro. Like that art that be on the wall in there when you're trying to sell furniture in Z Gallery. Like, it's just like super like I don't know if I'll look at him and say, yeah, Shuler paints. I would think like realistic art. I wouldn't think abstract.
That was just a dope conversation. Yeah.
That was a good spiel.
Yeah, very good.
Going through his art, like, yeah, this is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah,
good stuff. Really cool. We got to talk tight ends, especially.
Do we?
You guys want to do that today, or you guys want to kick it to next week? You guys cool with kicking it?
I'm cool with kicking that thing. Like,
I got one question for y'all. What do y'all like? Who y'all think? We got. We all is Vernell Brown the consensus flyest? We do this every year.
Oh yeah. I've seen the outfits already, so I have to. I haven't seen the shoes. I've seen the suits. I haven't seen the shoes, so I'll recuse myself.
All right. I'm going to go. I think Miles Graham is going to be the flyest.
Miles?
Yeah.
If he won up our receiver, I'm going to be shocked.
Yeah, I think fashion
I don't know.
Is.
I don't know.
Receiver if
he has like a flashy.
Jane Ball is very into fashion.
Yeah, I'm about to say, don't sleep on 1-3 now. 1-3 got Jane a little slack. Yeah.
I'm not sure what family member it is, but a family member. He's close with has a clothing brand that's kind of like, listen, it's not for me, but I think it looks good. I just couldn't pull it off. That's what I mean.
It's
not for me. Now, 1-3, you got it a little sweat. You got to check out the page. He dripped out every post. It ain't even football. Okay. It's just.
Do we have one of each? We got one of each.
Jaden Ballsbury, it's like, is it streetwear?
Yeah, streetwear considered. Yeah.
Okay, no, we got like one of each then. We'll see, man.
I'll be liking this swag. I see it. I'll be like, okay.
So like Jaden Ball, I would say would be more out there. I would not be surprised if like VB had like red bottoms on, like if he had Louboutin, but it's a different kind of style.
So red bottoms with the spikes on them or no?
No. I think they would look like normal dress shoes until like you got behind him and then you saw his foot kick up and you're like, oh. Those are $4,000.
I'm gonna wear my loafers.
Like if you're walking, if you walk behind someone, you can't see their heel.
I can't see the bottom of your shoe if you're walking.
I just don't notice that kind of stuff. I mean,
you put your glasses.
I know people do. But that's just not my thing, bro.
Yeah, no, I don't really notice shoes, but I at events like this, like red carpet, those type of things, I'm scoping up and down and see what the fit check is. But yeah, I think we're gonna see some big jewelry. That was the funniest thing that my man said. Shuler said he's just like the jewelry cleaner than the jersey. The jersey cleaner than the jewelry.
Both clean. Oh man. But if I was picking one, I'm going with 1-3. I don't know what y'all called it, but I think he's the swaggiest. I mean,
the bank probably won the receiver game, so
it makes sense.
Who do you think gives the best quote or the most memorable quote or like the funniest quote? Who we got there?
I think I'm interested. I think Miles Graham will give us the most, like, you know, rah-rah, get the fans hype quotes, I would say.
I think I'm on a coin flip between him and VB3. You know, both of them got that background to where they daddy would get them some old dude. You know what I'm saying? So it really all depends on what you feeling like that day. But I think both of them will come with some good quotes and some good sayings.
I think they, I don't know who like the personality is that might veer a little bit off from the media training. I mean, these guys have so much media training now that it's hard to get the quotes that you used to, like, 15, 20 years ago where people were talking a little too swaggy. But I mean, I think all three of these guys are just so professional. I think we're going to get a lot of kind of down the middle answers.
Mm-hmm. Miles has been known as a leader of men since he got on campus, even as a freshman. So yeah. I'm interested to see what his leadership talk sounds like as big dog now.
I think I just want to see how they handle it all. Like, obviously, it's VB3 coming on year two and having a good freshman season, and as well as Miles coming back on his third season. And you just want to see those guys come in and be professionals. I don't think this is Miles' first time going on SEC media.
Yeah. Most of these guys, like, first time, like, really even talking to the media.
Exactly. So, in my opinion, I think it's a great,
a great platform for the world to see who they are and who they're going to be. And yeah, I'm excited for it, man. I want to see what they put forth, and as well as Coach Summerall, what he'll put forth. And he's gave enough juice to us as Gator fans, but it's now time for you to pour that onto the rest of the world and let them know what they should expect this year.
I'm going to go with Jaden Baugh, and I think it'll be like a weird question that he answers innocently that gets blown out into something, just because that's something that would happen to SC Media.
What made you think that, bro?
That always happens like that, right?
He's just not as polished as VB. Like, I think VB, if you send VB out for like crisis management, whatever the talking point was, that's what happens. I think
we went 4-8 last year, so it's a good crisis for him to be involved.
I think Miles is like that too. I think Jaden Baugh just hasn't done as much media as them. And you just get asked, having done this since 2013, it's just the same. Like, every room is the same question asked a little bit differently. And I think Jaden Baugh would just be the one to kind of like, in his mind, like, I've been asked this like so many times, let me try to answer it differently. And then answering it differently turns into,
so I've been working on a couple curveball questions. I'm not there for anything else other than the game. So I'm just going to follow the rule.
Dan's spitting on the baseball before he throws it at the guys.
You know, we might have to ask like Summerall, who's got the ox? You know, what are we listening to? You know, who's got the best hands on the team? You know, you got to keep it light. Got to keep it air. I'm going for that thing that's going viral.
I like it.
You gotta ask it
in the main room, Dan, at 10:30, because they put the camera on you now when you ask questions in the main room.
Has tomatoes ever been thrown at a media
what
day?
The internet would say about my forehead if my dumb question made it on ESPN.
You gotta go clip farming though, Dan. You gotta find you a clip.
Yeah,
I gotta for the pod, not for Dan.
You gotta hold it down.
I'm there on behalf of the pod. It says Dan.
You gotta hold it down.
Is it Wednesday?
Wednesday morning. Yeah.
Okay, my birthday Wednesday too, bro. So perfect timing, man.
Yeah, where we going to? What they call that thing on the river right here in Palm Beach? Where we going?
On the river. What we got on the river?
What's that spot that's on the little on the water?
Waterway Cafe.
Nah, something on the river, and maybe it's not on the river. I forgot what it was.
I have no idea what I'm doing, brother. But I'm gonna watch some of the SEC stuff. I'll probably be down in Miami doing something, man. Kiki's on the river sounds more like it.
The river house? Yeah,
Kiki's on the river sounds good. I've been to River House in Palm Beach. That's amazing.
Yeah, no,
have I been to River House? I don't think I've been.
It's right over there off like PGA. It's a nice little vibe. If you haven't been, please go.
Check it out.
Let's support local business.
And popcorn. I mean, that's popcorn. Firecracker shrimp. It's kind of like Bonefish's
bang bang shrimp.
Yeah, it's really similar, but it's busting. It's good.
Okay. Peanut Island's a vibe, Clay. Corey and I have some great memories from Peanut Island.
Peanut Island, baby.
With his brother, with his dad. No, with your brother. Cleveland wasn't there. I think it was your dad and a couple friends. We had a great time.
Yeah, a couple friends.
Is it Benny's on the beach?
Benny's on the beach is Lake Worth. Yeah, Benny's on the beach is fire. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah,
What
a Benny's on the beach for your birthday or what?
That's what spot me and my daughter like to frequent, man. I like they got great pina coladas, bro. They bring the coconut out, like real fire. It depends on which one, because they got the one that's across the street, and they got, you know, two different locations at Benny's as well. But all right, we're getting too into Palm Beach talk, man. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, stay for tight end talk and special teams talk. Have an entire hour-long conversation about NIL and then end with West Palm Beach recommendations. So speaking of supporting small businesses, go support our friends over at Alumni Hall right off Archer Road there in Gainesville on the north side of the road. One of the largest selections, if not the largest selection of Florida Gators apparel, collectibles, trinkets, accessories, whatever you might want for the Florida Gators. Go support them online at alumnihall.com or support them on Archer Road in Gainesville when you make it up for the season or for the games this season. So again, Alumni Hall, go support them. Game Time Sidekicks, promo code STADIUM15, the Dykus Berg and Lewis Law Group, and of course our friends over at Brunt Insurance and Financial Services. Nick, see you. I guess we're getting together tomorrow, but nice, we'll see everybody. Stay tuned for our page for SEC Media Day. We're going to try to get you the information as quickly as possible there. But other than that, we'll see you guys at the same corner, same time next week. I think we get Andy Staples next week. So talk a little bit offensive line. So we will see you guys same corner, same time next week.
Deuce.